What's going on, y'all? It's Cat Magnus Propagandas, and it's October 31st, Halloween night, 2020, and this is the Awakened Demagogue podcast. I just realized the other day that I am now on year 3 of having this podcast. Yay, me, everybody, round of applause for me. So to celebrate, I did something a little different. I have a video component to this episode. So if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram or wherever the hell I might post it, probably post it on my YouTube too, definitely check out the video. You can actually see what I look like when I'm being crazy, but I do have the mood with a little set. Got my candles lit, my wine poured, my incense burning in the darkness. Because what else do you do when you record a podcast on Halloween? Alright, so, since it's a night of scary and spooky things, I'm going to do what I do best. Talk about the most terrifying thing in the world right now. Election 2020, darling! Now, I know a few months back, before Mom passed away, it was actually the day she went to her last hospital visit, Kamala Harris was nominated. Chosen, I should say, as Biden's VP pick. I got the wine, y'all. I got the wine. My bad if I slur, if I slip, if I mean, you know, okay. But I got some drugs on board too. My bad, y'all. Fault. But anyway, that was when Kamala Harris was chosen as Biden's VP pick. And if anyone remembers my post from that day or my podcast thereafter, I had a really, really strong feeling that day. Like my mouth could not form to say anything but Harris in the few moments up until they officially announced her. And I remember beating myself up because I should have posted it on Facebook so I don't sound like a nutcase, like, yeah, you think you see the future? No, I'm scared of my talents and I should probably just speak up more. But anyway, so that happened. It was a whole thing. Everything's all synchronized in my life and being all creepy and ominous. And so, you know, it's been like this major, okay, now the race officially begins. You know, everyone had the conventions. Trump was officially the Republican candidate. Biden and Harris, they're officially the Democratic ticket. I don't know. I really think there are Democratic operatives that listen to my podcast, and here's why. One, I have been saying for well over a year that Biden was their best chance to maybe possibly win against Trump in the campaign. He was that safe, you know, old white guy that Americans traditionally like to see and vote for. You know, let's be honest, Obama was a political anomaly. And considering that is the base, that is the ideal or the vision, you know, the old white male patriarch, that is the ideal vision that people who actually get out and vote in lockstep want to see. You know, the old people, the old white people, the people in middle America. And when I say middle America, I mean like the Midwest and that actual middle chunk of America, that rural area of America. That's what they really kind of like to see, right? So choosing that kind of image was the best chance that Democrats had against Donald Trump. Now, I'll give it to the Democratic campaign. They caught on to the fact that people on social media really like petty shit. I mean, even I have been entertained by the petty. Kudos. Kudos. Good job to you guys. But I'm starting to wonder if one of you guys really listened to my podcast and thought that my little prophetic vision of attuning to the energy that felt like, whoa, they're going to win. This is really strong energy. Like, somebody had to be listening to that, and the reason I say that is because they are now pulling a 2016 where they're overplaying their hand, they're a little too confident, and now I don't see them really winning. If they do, they will have to do some backhanded ass shit at this point. And a large part of that is because of the last presidential debate. Now, really quickly, I just want to just mention the vice presidential debate. First of all, to the American public, if you are not well-versed in politics, you kind of need to leave the topic alone, and here's why. If all you guys got out of a vice presidential debate was the fact that there was a fly on Vice President Pence's head, that says a lot, right? I mean, there was no, and it's not like they pulled some kind of esoteric political disinformation tricks or anything like that. It was very obvious. Pence would be asked the next question. He would pit, you know, he would circle back to the question prior and then keep harping on that point. And then Kamala Harris just danced around every fucking thing. I mean, at least she tried to stay on topic or keep up with the questions, but she bullshitted around too and then even created a situation for Pence to kind of go after her for her record on locking up African Americans for minor marijuana charges. So that was a shit show within itself, and there were obvious blunders, there were obvious mistakes made. It doesn't take a highly trained or highly educated political analyst to pick up on what the fuck happened at that time, and yet everybody, all they could talk about was this goddamn fly on Mike Pence's head. Like, I really need you guys to get it together, okay? Like, can we do better? Please, okay? That's just number one. Two, that aside, and everything that I just noticed, everything that I just named, the VP debate was just crap. It was abysmal for both sides. Like I said, neither one of them really answered any questions. Pence was the king of the if I may. Like, I'm about to use that. If I may. Like, the king of the polite cutoff, okay? If I may. Ma'am, if I may. And you know, everybody liked that I'm speaking, you know, I'm speaking, yeah, but I'm speaking, yeah, and that was cute too. They had their little shade moments and they were cute, but at the end of the day, it was a shit show. Nobody really answered any questions, neither one of them offered any substance, neither one of them. I will give Pence the fact that he really advocated for Trump and, you know, the president that he is supporting and working alongside, while Kamala kind of gently promoted herself as the incoming president when and if Joe Biden dies or retires. She's still making her case as to why she is special and why she matters and why she should be in whatever seat may or may not be on the table for her. So I'll give Pence that. But overall, the VP debate was a general shit show. But when we get into the final presidential debate, that is where the left really, and Biden particularly, because he was the one on stage performing, right? That's where they really started to show their hands. First of all, it was a phenomenal debate, especially compared to the shit show the first one was. And we really got to hear both candidates speak and stand on their laurels and make their cases and stand on their positions and how they felt about whatever they were questioned on. And the thing is, if you actually pay attention to the news and you actually do the research and you actually look at policies, Trump was actually telling the truth about most, if not all, of his policies. I will give the fact that he inflates numbers sometimes, and those moments are the ammunition that the left needs to try to say that, oh, Trump's a liar. Like, he exaggerates the numbers. True, I'll give you that. He's hyperbolic in his speech. But as far as the point, for example, when he said the agricultural industry was going to benefit from China and China was going to pay the bill for the agricultural industry getting $2 billion or whatever, or, you know, pumped into it. And Joe Biden was like, no, that's taxpayer money. Actually, no, that is part of Trump's trade deals that, you know, came out of his trade war with China. One of the final deals was that, and I'm just off the top of my head just remembering that China committed to buying a $2 billion in agricultural goods from us. So Trump was telling the truth about that. But the thing about the left is that they count on the general people, especially the minority groups who are so busy with their survivalism and just trying to get from point A to point B and being exploited by the left in identity politics. They expect you to not know something like what I just pointed out, and the only reason I know about it is because I'm in policy. That's what I do, and that's what I read about, and I'm like, oh shit, I wrote a paper on that. Yeah, that really happened. So moments like that really kind of show you know, there's the devil in the details, and the devil in the details is the left knowing the details and knowing that most people don't really look that deep and don't really get that much analysis. And if they don't actually report that kind of information, or they report it like as a minor footnote, people aren't going to pay attention, much less remember, much less care when they're looking for the petty shots and the celebrity shit show of a debate and folks going back and forth, right? Another thing, as far as Trump and his efforts on COVID, the China issue, as far as, you know, banning travel from China, it is actually true. I remember seeing the tweets, and if anyone actually looked at the tweets, they were there. Biden, Obama, the entire left, everyone was saying that Trump was xenophobic, that he was his rhetoric was inciting violence against Chinese Americans. Now he's a racist and this and that and the other, and he hates China. But then in the debate, Biden pivoted and said, oh, I never said that. That's not it. I didn't mean it in that context. And, well, it actually took him too long to ban travel from China. It's like, first of all, when he did it, whether it was on time or too late, you guys were mad that he did it in the first place and came for him for that. And now you're saying that he just took too long and he did the right thing. And, of course, well, the age of social media, sound bites, quick videos, everything's fast-paced, and everyone's in a, you know, fatigue from COVID and a crisis and a rush to try to make money to keep a roof over their heads. They're really counting on people to not pay attention and to not remember these things. But I remember them. But maybe it's because I'm the policy wonk, right? Maybe it's because I'm the dork that pays attention to things like that. So I remember that they came for Trump really, really hard, basically saying it's xenophobic and it's wrong for them to lock China out. And then they get in a debate and say, he just did it too late. I would have did it sooner. You probably would have did it at the same time, if not sooner. I'll say that. I'll give them that. But it's about them being able to say that they were the ones that made the decision, or they would have been the ones to make it first, or they would have been the ones to execute on things correctly, or in a proper fashion, or whatever, you know. Trump was really actually telling his truth on that stage, because at this point of the game, like he said, I think there was a question Kristen said, what do you say to black voters about, you know, whatever it is that you're doing for the black community? He said he's gotten the opportunity zones, he's worked on criminal justice reform, he's giving people pardons, you know, he's doing all these things, and being most racist or least racist, that's part of his hyperbolic speech, but he has, you know, his opportunity zones have, given some benefits to some people. I have some friends that say they know people who actually got some money and came up under those, you know, through the opportunity zones. He did work on helping HBCUs not have to come back to the government year after year after year to request funding. He made it so that they actually gain funding over a longer period of time. They have a longer contract, so they don't have to keep coming back and begging. He actually did do those things. And of course, everyone hears about, you know, the criminal justice reform things. The major ones that people, black folks in particular, hear about are the ones that, you know, have to deal with Kim Kardashian's lobbying to get people set free or have their death row sentences, you know, overturned or things like that. But, you know, these things have happened. He has made these efforts. Now, is it to say that he just absolutely loves black people or something like that? That's, honestly, that doesn't fucking matter when it comes to policy. That you don't have to like someone to do the right thing. You don't have to want to be somebody's friend or be everybody's friend to do the right thing. And I think that's where we're really, you know, the emotional aspect of the left and how they're driving the political conversation. Everyone's worried about, well, are they your friend? Do they like you? Do they want you? And it's like, it's not about that. Are they going to do the right thing? He could be a bleeding racist, but at the end of the day, he could be a rabid racist. But at the end of the day, if helping black people come up helps the country, and he puts country over his personal like or dislike for people, then that's what matters, because at the end of the day, it's the policies that get put in place and how they're executed upon that make the difference in people's lives. And contrary to what people want you to believe, to what the left wants you to believe, he has made efforts, and to some degree, whether it's a lot or a little, they have made an impact. He has done the work. He has, at the very least, tried. And I have seen people on my own Facebook feed, black people that, you know, they're coaches and tax preparers and all of that, and they're saying, what did that chick say? Oh, she said because he did opportunity zones and criminal justice reform that all black people must be poor and criminals. But then, let's think about it. Government is supposed to solve problems to improve quality of life for the body politic. So if he enacts policies that provide opportunity zones so people can get out of poverty, if he enacts criminal justice reform to reduce the black population that is incarcerated, or to at least prevent more people from being locked up unjustly, those are the two top issues in the black community. He's not getting it wrong by doing that. If you are a black person with money, you're fine. And honestly, the only thing you're worried about is shit that these celebrities like 50 Cent are worried about. Your taxes. Okay? And a lot of these people that I see on Facebook, these asinine fuckwits that are all, you know, you gotta vote left, you gotta vote Biden because Trump is bad, because they've been programmed by mainstream media and this mainstream conversation that Trump equals bad. It doesn't matter what he does, Trump equals bad. And that is the point that I'm getting back to, is that in the debate, when he was asked, what do you say to the black Americans? He said, well, what can I say? People are going to continue to say whatever they want to anyway, whether it's true or not. There's nothing I can say. There's nothing he can say. There's almost nothing he can do. He can be the reincarnation of Jesus Christ and actually solve everybody else's problems, but because the left didn't do it, it's not even whether or not Trump did it. The left's point is that the left didn't do it. The whole thing about the Space Force, do you really think that if Biden and Harris get in the office, they're going to dismantle the Space Force and say it's a waste of money? Fuck no. They're going to look at what the Space Force is working on, what our adversaries are doing, and then take something that Trump likely put into place and then market it as if it was their idea. Just like Trump did for Obama's successes. And let's be real, every politician does that. Policy takes time to work. So, if you are a president for one or two terms, that's why it's important for any president to be in, to have both terms, to have two terms, preferably consecutively. Because if they enact one policy in the beginning of their first term, you know, or then at least the first half of their first term, it's going to take at least until the first or second half of the second term to even see any kind of return on the policy investment. It takes time for policy to work. And that's why every time we have this argument, there's this public argument over who did what and whose policy it is and who gets the credit. A lot of times, once a policy works and everything is great and it's grand, whoever is in office at the time gets the credit. But more than likely, if it's a policy that worked or didn't work, it was enacted while the previous president was in office. Period. So when Republicans get into office and they try to balance the budget and fix things that were already a shit show from what Democrats did, it's because Democrats already fucked it up. They already overspent. They already blew the budget. And now while Republicans are trying to fix it, there's almost nothing they can do because Democrats overspent by so much and then left the Republicans a mess that they can't even, what can you say? What can you do? It's already been done, right? And then say the Democrats do finally get things under control and everything is great. Well, unless everything is fucking stupendous by the time that Democrat leaves office, the Republicans can come in and say, well, I have the glory now. It happened under my administration. That's what we see with the Obama thing. It started with Obama, and it finished and reached its peak under Trump. Period. That's just how it works. And it's not partisan. It's not politics. It's just the nature of time. Policy takes time. You know, that's what I think there's things when they say in the legal world that, you know, the wheels of justice turn slowly. Because policy, law, all of that, it takes time. You know, it doesn't just happen overnight because somebody's saying, you know, Obama's classic, you know, I got a pen and I got a phone. But at the end of the day, the results take time. Fuck your pen and your phone. You can sign that shit yesterday. You may not see results of it until someone else is in office. For example, space policy. Obama put in place a plan to have human beings, Americans, at least in orbit of Mars, in lower orbit around Mars, by like 2025 or something like that. And the goal from there, by the 2030s or the 2050s, was to have people actually on Mars, like walking on Mars, and you know, been studying Mars, seeing if it's viable to, you know, do what Elon Musk wants to do, colonize Mars, things like that. Trump was not against that. He actually wanted to continue working with that, but the Mars mission could not get the funding, more than likely because of a lack of imagination from most people that are at the high level of anything, whether it's a corporation, a government agency, or government itself. It's usually some old person that lacks imagination and problem solving and critical thinking skills, especially the way that we need them today. So Trump got impatient with the Mars thing. He said, all right, let's table that and let's just focus, let's just take baby steps. Let's just focus on getting back to the moon. So, and then he has this Artemis program, the Artemis Accords, which is his one actual multilateral policy to work with other states, nation states, to get people on the moon again, to get the first woman on the moon, to actually bring resources back from the moon and study them to see how they can be exploited. Right? So Trump, and the thing is, the plan that Obama set in motion would require the cooperation and encouragement of subsequent presidents, because, you know, getting to Mars and doing the big thing and getting people on Mars and studying, you know, the Martian landscape, that's a long-term plan. Everybody has to be in accord with it, and Trump wasn't necessarily against it, it's just it wasn't moving fast enough for him. So he said, let's just focus on the moon right now. That is just the reality of how the things that most people don't know work. It's that Trump isn't really dismantling and undoing everything. He's just doing what he can to, one, come through on his campaign promises, because that is part of the key, one of the key metrics that makes sure people can be reelected. Did you do what you said you were going to do? And he did, as far as, you know, delivering on the economy. A lot of people were making money under Trump. I had my best year in business working for myself and as a caregiver under Trump. That was 2018. Before mom went in the hospital, and like life just happened to me. Trump didn't do it. My life didn't fall apart because of Trump. Life just happened to me. You know what I mean? Trump didn't happen to me. Life did. So, you know, people actually really were doing well under Trump. The thing is, and this is not Trump's fault, the economy tanking right now, it's not Trump's fault. The global economy tanked because of COVID and everybody having to shut down because no one knows what the fuck COVID is. And everyone's trying to figure out what the fuck COVID is and how can we get a vaccine for it? Who's going to be the savior of humanity? You know, we got the vaccine nationalism and the race for a vaccine or a cure or a viable treatment for COVID so everyone can go back to normal safely. Like, we have these flu vaccines that most people like me do not take. And then, you know, you got the hypochondriacs and the people that are too trusting and they take it. And then, you know, you get the people in healthcare and say, why would you get the flu vaccine when it may not even work for the flu that comes around this year? You know, whatever. And what if COVID is like that? You know, what if it adapts and mutates? And I think there have been some articles about that, you know, COVID is also adapting and mutating. So what if COVID is like just a concurrent flu that adapts and mutates, you know, year after year after year? You can get a vaccine, but will it work? It may or may not even fucking work. We may just have to chalk it up there with the general flu. However, it is something new to the human experience, and our scientists are not all-knowing gods. They do have to do the due diligence, do the studies, and figure it all out, and figure out how we can balance getting back to normal with the reality that it's going to take a long time to get this vaccine or a cure or a therapeutic or whatever it is that, you know, gives people enough security health-wise in the public health realm for us to get back to normal. That's really what we're dealing with right now. And we have the Democrats and the Republicans in this election fighting over who is going to be the savior of humanity from America. Because I bet you that it is true that these various companies that Trump is looking at, the Trump administration is looking at as far as a vaccine. Even Fauci said himself that they are getting close to a vaccine. It may not be absolutely ready for distribution anytime soon, but they are getting close to finding one that is viable and that will work. That is another thing that Trump is telling the truth on, but the Democrats just don't want him to be telling that truth. You know, it's just they want to be able to say that it happened under their administration, because that's how it worked. That's how it works. Long-term problems, long-term solutions. It's not about who starts it. It's about who's in office when it's finished. It's about who's in office when the economy is great again. It's about who's in office when the vaccine hits the market and everyone can get it in mass. It's about who's in office if that vaccine works or not. It has nothing to do with if their actual policy works. Because from public perception, it's just, oh my gosh, this great thing happened. This person is president. It must be this person. That's just an unfortunate reality of how simple people are, right? So bringing it all back together, okay? And if anyone from the Democratic Party just happens to be listening to this podcast, or as you guys share this video and the podcast, which I would like you to do, please, thanks, understand that right now, in the final stretch, in the final countdown, the left is overplaying its hand. It's doing another 2016. It's showing its hand. It's showing how inept they are. It's showing the double speak, the double-handed double speak. Especially when it comes to the black community. And then in the next segment, I'm going to get into that and the culture thing and how, you know, we got these rappers coming out supporting or not supporting Trump, or a willingness to work with Trump, and then that's being spun as an endorsement, which is, I mean, a willingness to work with someone who's willing to work with you is not necessarily an endorsement. It's just business. It's just recognizing that I may not like you, I may not support you, I may not endorse you, but if you can help me get this done, then, you know, I eat my ego and we get this done. You know what I mean? And that's how business is. That's how politics is. That's why, as much as we do not support a lot of what Saudi Arabia stands for as far as there being a theocracy, as far as their human rights violation, and as far as their alleged involvement in 9/11, they are a major player in the Middle East, and it is to our strategic advantage to have them as an ally. That doesn't mean we support them. That doesn't mean we endorse anything they do. It just means that business as usual means if they're going to help us get it done, then they're going to be the best ones to help us get it done. So we just need to, you know, eat that and get it done with who's going to work with us. That's just really how it goes. People, average voters, average civilians, they're very emotionally driven because they don't have to, most people don't even have the hubris to go, you know, into life knowing that you might have to make a deal with the devil in order to do good in the long run. You know, most people are like, oh, it's just gonna be safe and we only can do things with people that think like us, and it just has to be, you know, if everyone just gets along and says the same things, and, you know, they don't disagree, because people can't disagree anymore. You know, there's no respectfully disagreeing anymore. Has anyone realized that? We can no longer respectfully disagree. It's either you agree or you're canceled, right? Left, showing your fucking hand. Actually, I saw a clip on Instagram earlier today by PragerU. They were interviewing Matthew McConaughey, and, you know, he is a Bible-believing Christian country man that has done well for himself in Hollywood, and he is a little taken aback and a little put off by the ultra-left, as he says, the illiberal left, within Hollywood, because, and he even said it's hypocritical, like, they're trying to position themselves as these all-knowing, all-inclusive people, and then intentionally and aggressively alienating billions of people on the planet because they are believers in Christianity. And then what's interesting to me, especially about the left in America, is that they praise the Muslims and hate the Christians, and it's like, Judaism? Christianity and Islam all have the same God. It begins with the Torah and the Old Testament, which is the doctrine of the Jews. We get Christianity, which is the New Testament, which you cannot understand without the Old Testament. That's why we have the entire biblical canon of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And if you go to the Eastern Orthodox churches, such as the ones in Ethiopia, you actually have the apocryphal texts included. So you have a full canon and a full mystical and complete comprehension of the of what it means to be in the faith and to walk the path with God. And then you have Islam and the Quran put forth by the Prophet Muhammad, who it is believed that he received the dictates and what to write the Quran with from the Archangel Gabriel. Guess who had the Archangel Gabriel? The Old Testament. They didn't really talk about archangels and all that in the New Testament, because all of that foundation was laid out in the Old Testament. So guess what? At the end of the day, these are three different... That's why, you know, people who actually know religion and theology, we call them the Abrahamic religions. Because at the end of the day, they all go back to Abraham and Sarah, the original couple, and who birthed the tribes of Israel in the Old Testament. So, for you guys to try to say that Islam is better than Christianity, you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. I can't stand the war between Christians and Muslims, because it's like, at the end of the day, you may have different, you know, doctrines of sorts, but it's still the same God. It's still that same one God. Even the Quran acknowledges the existence of Jesus Christ, and the Old Testament prophesied the arrival of Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, Judaism and Islam refer to Yeshua HaMashiach as a prophet more so than the, you know, God incarnate Messiah. And that's another discussion for another day. But the point is, for the left to kind of just exploit that also is a point to their disingenuous nature, their selective support. And the only reason they go for Christians is because the biblical worldview and Christianity is heavily entrenched in Republican thinking, especially now. But then you have to realize that the founders of this country, though most of them were not outwardly practicing Christians, they all had Christian backgrounds, because they all came from the very ultra-Christian, whatever country, whether it was the Netherlands or Britain or whatever, the ultra-Christian Europe. Anglo-Saxon Christian Europe. That's where they came from. Okay, so you had your John Adams, your George Washington, your Ben Franklin. I love Ben Franklin. He was actually like the most occult of all of them. I mean, all of them, or most of them, were Freemasons. Benjamin Franklin was into God knows what. He was a Freemason and then some. Many of them had their Christian foundation, but they denounced the faith. Some of them were deists. They believed that there was a God, but not in the way that they were taught. But they still had that foundational upbringing, and they understood the importance of having a higher power, a higher calling, a higher level of consciousness and morality to adhere to. Which is why there's a need for freedom of religion, because it's not about the government being controlled by a religious entity, or you leveraging that religious entity to control the people, but it's about having that higher power to, with those higher dictates and these higher ideas and this higher morality. No matter what religion you practice, no matter what spiritual belief that you have, it is important to have that, because that is the key to being able to be a self-governing person. And as long as we are not beholden to man, but beholden to God, or Source, or the universe, something higher than another human being, then we are able to govern ourselves accordingly. That is why it's so important to have religious freedom, because if you're... And the thing is, the higher power and the higher morality and the higher consciousness is a lot of what the left pushes, but they're pushing it through secularized New Age spirituality in mysticism, and if you really understand and study mysticism and occultism, which I have for decades, or at least well over a decade, it doesn't matter what you term it. And first of all, you ultimately come to understand that all religions and spiritual traditions and indigenous traditions around the world, one, have a common flood story, two, have generally similar origin stories. Now, we can definitely go into the one God over many gods and so on and so forth. That definitely varies, but there's still these commonalities where at the end of the day, there's a higher power, or if you're an ancient astronaut theorist, you know, higher beings throughout the cosmos. There is something or someone or some entity, some consciousness, some source, some energy that has organized and created the universe perfectly, and that we should have faith, belief, and trust in that. And the good thing about the secularized version of it is that it leaves room for everyone to take comfort in their religious or spiritual belief without having one religion or another shoved down their throat and indoctrinated. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of the freedom of religion within the Constitution, because it's not about freedom to practice Christianity any way you want. That's not what it says. It's freedom of religion, whatever your religion is, whatever higher being or calling or spirituality or consciousness that you adhere to that guides you to be your highest self. Remember, many to most of the founders of this country were mystics and occultists in their own right. So they're all about the higher consciousness and attuning to a higher level of being. And having that higher level of consciousness, being that enlightened person, being among the Illuminati. It's not just the conspiracy theory Alex Jones tells you, but the Illuminati just means the enlightened ones, right? So operating at that level of consciousness is what guides the capacity to self-govern. Without that, we are better off with a monarch or an autocratic government. Or a totalitarian government. Because then we're just, you know, wild beasts running around doing whatever the fuck with no consequence, with no consciousness, right? So the key to self-governance is a cultivation of higher consciousness. We cannot have self-governance and the beauty that is American, what America was founded to become, without higher consciousness. The thing is, the right and the left, if they focus on that higher level consciousness, they both can help America and the world achieve that. However, they're too busy fighting over whose strategy and whose form of higher consciousness is the best, which is defeating the fucking point and actually reflects a lower level of consciousness and a lack of enlightenment. But whatever. So as far as, you know, getting back to who may or may not win, honestly, because the left is showing his hand right now, they are showing their fucking asses. I'm not really confident the way that I was when I had that energetic feeling. And here's the thing about prophecy and seeing the future. I am a bona fide seer. You can go to my website, www.awakendemagogue.com. I offer one-on-one sessions now. You can check out the one-on-one sessions. I have testimonials from people who I've seen things in the future up to in advance. I've had dreams about people and I'm hitting up like, what the hell? And she's like, whoa, what the fuck? I am a bona fide, like, if you had to make me a character in the Bible, I literally am Joseph. I have the gift of dreams and interpretation and helping people understand what it means in their life. And I've had a lot of practice on myself, and it's literally driving me crazy. And I think I've done a podcast on it, and I can do a review if you want sometime later. But for right now, as a bona fide seer, here's the nature of prophecy. Just because I had that energetic tap that day when Kamala Harris was announced does not mean that it guarantees the Democrats will win. Period. Doing the 2016 the way the Democrats are right now, they are going to lose. Probably by less of a hairline than they did last time. I do not fucking care. And I can give them maybe last time the Electoral College wasn't ready for a woman, but right now they are showing their hand so fucking bad. And it's really coming to light that Trump may be crass and he may have hyperbolic speech, but he is trying. And he, like anybody else, fails here and there. Sometimes it's a shit show, sometimes it's not. And the more you look into his policies and what he's done, it's really not that bad. Like, oh shit, he just should probably shut the fuck up sometimes, like everyone's been saying. And here we are with the left obviously doing one thing, then saying another. Obviously saying whatever the fuck they think they have to say. Bullying whoever they think they have to bully. Canceling whoever they think they have to cancel to win by any means necessary. And if there are any gains that Donald Trump made that no one can pick up on because of the leftist noise, they will claim credit for it if and or when they get into power. However, they are showing their hand in a way that is not looking good for them right now. And if y'all see this ugly ass pimple on my chin, just, you know, it's Halloween. It's the witch in me. But, so, you know, like, I wasn't gonna vote. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a registered Republican. And I had a really strong feeling that day when Kamala Harris was nominated. I was like, oh, shit. This is some strong energy. But, and they had it, really. The energy, they were riding that energy. But that last fucking presidential debate and how the energy has shifted since then. Good luck. That's all I can say. Good luck. But yeah, I'm going to have a nice little musical interlude for the video, folks. And in the next segment, I'm going to focus more on Hollywood cancel culture and the reality of rich people not wanting to pay more taxes. Next. Y'all, round two. So in the last segment, kind of ranted, I was kind of tipsy, but I was ranting and raving on what the left was doing to basically shoot itself in the foot, right? They're basically doing another 2016, and they're probably gonna lose because of it. And I would say it's a goddamn Greek tragedy, but right now it's just kind of business as usual for these guys. What I want to talk about in this segment is the rise of the black rapper being too afraid to admit that they rock with Trump. Now, one thing that I want to point out is that anybody who listens to rapper hip hop, Trump was like the ideal of what people wanted to be. That is a large part of why he even got elected in the first place. He embodies what people in America want to be. He embodies the ultimate of the ultimate of the American dream. The billionaire businessman. It doesn't matter how many times you fail. If you're in the entrepreneurial community and you work for yourself, you know you're going to fucking fail a lot. You're going to take losses. The people who are appalled by that are people who work jobs and don't understand that you fail more than you win when you work for yourself. But when you win big, okay? That's it. The bigger the risk, the bigger the reward. But know that you're going to take a lot of losses in the meantime. But anyway, Donald Trump, the billionaire businessman, he always married this badass supermodels, this, that, and the other, the legacy. That's what everybody wants to be, especially in the hip-hop community. There are so many references to Trump, Trump hotels, Donald Trump in hip-hop music. And it is a little ironic that now, because of Hollywood and their ultra-left politicization and ignorance and just really just using politics as PR ploys to stay relevant, let's be honest about these people. Now they're all gung-ho, oh, anti-Trump, Trump this, Trump that, Trump that, Trump's bad, Trump's bad, Trump, blah, 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 blah. Trump had a whole corporate panel, advisory panel when he came into office, but because the left ran this fucking incessant an anti-Trump PR campaign. Everybody had to bail on Trump, at least in the public eye. And let's just talk about Ice Cube for a minute. You know, he introduced a platinum plan that he wanted to basically see who was gonna take the bait. What Ice Cube did, he went fishing. He had this plan to where he wanted to uplift the black community, get capital in the black community so people can start small businesses and the black community can be more self-sufficient, so on and so forth. He put the bait in front of the Dems and the Republicans. The Democrats said that they would talk to him about it after the elections. And the Republicans said, the Trump administration said they will look into it and maybe adjust some of their policies accordingly to help out. Ice Cube got a lot of flack for that. And it basically, the contract with Black America, it advocated for more police reform, abolition of private prisons, and the elimination of mandatory minimum sentences, as well as the Platinum Plan to throw $500 billion into the African-American economy or something like that. Ice Cube is now considered as endorsing Donald Trump when it was just the Trump administration said they'll take a look at it and see what they can do and incorporate their policies to align with that. And it's like work, like I said in the last segment, working with people you may not like, or even making a deal with the devil or working with the enemy, does not mean you have sold out. It means you're ready. You want to get this shit done by any means necessary. Lil Wayne just came out with a tweet the other day with a picture of him and Donald Trump because Trump was in Miami. He said he took a meeting with Donald Trump and he's super excited about this meeting and what it's going to do for Black America, for criminal justice reform. The Platinum Plan is going to give the community real ownership. He listened to what we had to say, Wayne referencing Trump. He listened to what we had to say and assured that he will and can get it done. And that is something that Trump has said to everybody the entire fucking time. And everyone's like, whoa, rappers are Republicans? What in the world is that? 50 Cent came out. He went viral because he posted on Instagram a screenshot of the presumed tax rates when Biden gets into office. And 50 Cent saw that it would be 62% tax on the wealthy if Biden gets into office, and he said, man, damn all that, vote Trump, because he doesn't want his taxes raised, right? Like, let's be clear, nobody in any tax bracket wants their money taken out of their paycheck to go into a pot, and we don't have as much say over where the money goes as we like. We elect our representatives. This is a republic, not a democracy. So we elect representatives who sit in Congress and they decide on behalf of us, because a republic is where you have representatives doing it. A pure democracy is where every policy proposal comes on the ballot and everyone in America votes on whatever bill comes to the table. That is a democracy. That is not what we have. What we have is we elect representatives, and in a Republican way, they represent us, and they vote, they introduce and vote on bills that are then passed to the president to be signed into the law. Or on the state level, your state assemblies, you know, they come together and discuss and create state laws, and they send it to the governor to be signed for state law. Right? So that's how that works, right? So let's just be clear. I don't care what tax bracketing you're in. Nobody wants their taxes raised, right? And here's the thing. Everybody wants more stuff paid for by the government. The government can't pay for stuff unless there's taxes. But nobody wants their taxes raised. So we get our AOCs and the people on the left, well, we're gonna tax the rich people. They don't deserve to have that much money anyway. Well, I mean, if you have an independent artist publishing their own music and they did a really kick-ass job using social media to build their audience organically, or running their own ads with their own pot and their own money, and they sell their 10 million records based on their hard work and they make $1 million to $2 to $10 million profit on their own, they earn that fucking money. We are not entitled to saying they don't deserve what they just worked hard for and earned. If somebody starts a business baking cupcakes And people love those fucking cupcakes. You know, I don't even have a better. There's a restaurant in Stormont, Georgia, where I grew up in, called Williams Philly Cheesesteaks. Authentic Philly cheesesteaks. Everybody loves those fucking Philly cheesesteaks, okay? They are, have expanded. They have another location in Decatur. They're remodeling the one in Stone Mountain. And say, you know, they open up a third or fourth location. Maybe they're just six-figure earners right now. But maybe they're only $300,000. But, you know, maybe let's just say they open up another location and then make it into the $500,000 range. Right? Now, they're in Georgia. So, they probably won't see a significant tax hike. But let's just say they had that success in New York. Right? And they honestly earned that success, those profits, by investing in providing quality food and a quality experience to the community. Who the fuck is anyone to say they do not deserve what they worked their asses off to build and earn? Right? Everyone thinks that it's just going to tax Jeff Bezos, because how dare he be the wealthiest man on earth? How dare Warren Buffett have that much money? How dare Donald Trump have that much money? But at the end of the day, it starts with somebody in some generation having an idea, working their ass off to build some business that ended up working, expanding, and being successful, and yielding a profit that is able to line somebody's pockets and have millions of dollars, okay? We have all these fake-ass coaches, and I don't know what it is with you goddamn coaches out here that think that you can say millionaires shouldn't exist, but you're also a money mindset coach that's helping people become millionaires. Billionaires shouldn't exist, but then you're coaching people on money mindset and saying that they should not limit themselves to how much income they can make in life. Like, what side? Are you a socialist or are you a capitalist? Are you a communist or are you a capitalist? Like, which one? You can't have both. You can't have both. You can't call yourself a money mindset coach telling people they can make as much money as they possibly can, and they can be Bill Gates, and they can be this, and they can be that if they just get their mindsets right. But how dare Bill Gates and Donald Trump and Jeff Bezos and 50 Cent and Lil Wayne and anyone in those upper tax brackets have that fucking money? They need to pay most of it to the government to support shit that may not even, the budget is, it doesn't even pay for what we think it pays for. Wow, you guys don't know what the fuck you're talking about, don't understand taxes, don't understand economics, and half of y'all are trying to coach people on money mindset? You need to understand how money even works before you try to tell somebody how to get their fucking mind right about it. But that's another podcast. Back to the rappers. So, we got Chelsea Handler that came out of the side of her neck. She is the ex-lover of 50 Cent, and she quote-unquote jokingly said she had to remind 50 Cent that he's a black man and he can't endorse or support Trump. And Candace Owens, you know, with the broken clocks right twice a day, she made a very astute observation that telling a white person, male, female, in between, telling a black person what they can and cannot do based on the color of their skin is the literal definition and embodiment of racism. That is literally saying you can't, if it's a Republican water fountain and a Democratic water fountain, you're not able to drink from the Republican water fountain because you're black. You have to drink from the Democratic one. It is literally the same thing. Republican water fountains are for whites only. You can only drink from the Democratic water fucking fountain. Wake the fuck up, people. You want something to wake up to? These people literally fucking telling you that you can't drink from the Republican water fountain because that's for whites only. That's for white supremacists only. That's for the white rural people only. That's whites only. You're only allowed to drink from the Democratic water fountain because that's the one for the blacks and the minorities and the gays. That is literally what the left is telling people. That is literally how they... That's identity politics in a very Jim Crow, realistic Jim Crow example, illustration. They are literally saying the Republican water fountain is whites only. If you are any kind of minority or marginalized person, I the white person, I the self a righteous and moral, new moral majority white person tell you, you can only drink from the Democratic water fountain because the Republican one is for whites only, especially the white ones that don't like you. I'm the white one that loves you, so I'm telling you which water fountain you can drink from. Fuck you. As a registered Republican, fuck you. And you can go fuck yourself. Oh, the policy's this, the policy's that, the policy's this, the policy's that. Well, look, bruh, I want 50 cent. When I get my millions, I don't want 62% of that taken. And I barely have a say in how it's spent. And then some people who are probably five-figure earners say, well, I don't mind paying more, I don't mind paying more. Yeah, but when you get to that six-figure, that 400... thousand, that 500,000, that seven figure range where you buying all these $97 PDFs trying to get to, you know what I'm saying? When you hit that tax bracket and then them taxes hit you, you're going to be going to these other fake ass tax coaches who are bragging about how they reduced somebody's $16,000 tax bill to $4,000. You're going to be figuring out how you can lose enough money in your business so you can cut your tax bill. Everyone's trying to figure out how to pay as little taxes as humanly possible. So why the fuck are y'all coming for Trump? Because he had a team that did it. Why does this make sense? Hello? Like, just holding the fucking head, yo. So after the Chelsea Handler blunder, everyone came for her because she literally, you know, the water fountain example that I gave you. So then she tried to walk that back and say, oh, well, yeah, I called him. And I was like, well, you know, put on the little white woman tears, little whiny face. Well, I mean, did you really mean that? You're really going to support Trump? I just want to understand. I don't get it. Like, you really going to support him? And now 50 Cent is walking himself back. Oh no, Wayne, I would have never took this picture. I didn't support Trump. I don't like Trump. I don't fuck with Trump. I was just joking. Because of the public backlash from imbeciles. And then people think they know something because of public backlash. It's like, you guys are fucking idiots. And probably at the end of the day, they're probably going to vote for Trump anyway. But just tell you guys what you want to hear so the PR doesn't hurt their brand so much that if they want, you know, 50 Cent got new shows coming out, Chelsea got shit going on with Netflix, you know what I mean? A lot of these people are playing up to the emotions for PR reasons because they want to keep their brands intact. They want to keep making money. They're probably all going to vote Trump anyway because guess what? They don't want their taxes raised. They do care if you can have health care and they want there to be opportunities and ways for you to get it, but they don't want to work their fucking asses off. And a lot of women in Hollywood do have to fuck that. It's not just the choice to fuck your way to the top. A lot of people and women in Hollywood, if that is what they are dead the fuck set on, they take that fucking L because that's what they want. Yes, it's a choice to an extent, and it's not right for the people in power to prey on them. However, if that's what their heart and their mind and their souls are set on, they take that L and they fuck their way to the top. So guess what? If I went through all this shit, I had to sell drugs, sell my body, fucking suck this person to get this goddamn money, you goddamn right, you better get your ass out there and make this money too. You're not finna take all my money. You're not about to take 62% of my income that I did God knows what to get to because you want to motherfucking sit on the goddamn sob story. I feel them on that. And if it's solely about balancing the budget, then yes, it would make more sense to increase taxes on trillion-dollar corporations. That's a little out of control when we have so much income inequality. And if they just take that L for another 5 to 10 years, we can bring it back and then, you know, go back to business as usual so everybody can come up. You know what I mean? A corporate tax because Jeff Bezos is a multi-billionaire. He is not a trillionaire. You know, I believe it's Tim Cook now of Apple. You know, that's a $1 trillion company. He himself is not a trillionaire. So if you tax the companies to kind of make up for the deficit and bring that down, okay, that's fine. do that for a short period of time. Don't overspend what you can. Reform these welfare or entitlement programs to where they directly set people up for success instead of setting people up and encouraging dependency. I'm a neoconservative, which means I'm all for a social pot. I believe if it's for the people, by the people, then that, you know, it is a Christian, you want to be Christian, it's a Christian thing to do, to have that pot for the people, by the people, that whenever life happens, because it happens to us all, we can go and get a little help to get from point A to point B. And if we have to adapt to the times because, you know, the oil industry requires, you know, skills retraining because they're transitioning to solar or whatever the heck it is, or not, whatever it is, you know, have those programs in place, have those public-private partnerships in place so that people can be filtered into these new jobs, filtered into starting a new business, paired with a larger successful business to ensure the success of the new business, of the new small business, like they do in Japan. Or, you know, get people in school and have, you know, like in the healthcare industry, they have externships and residencies, and those more than likely lead to jobs out of school. Have it, you know, encourage the legal profession to have more apprenticeships, you know, actually filter people into well-paying jobs and career fields that they want to be in, not just give them money and then tell them the only jobs, give them a jobs list that is just menial work, that doesn't pay much, that won't really get them anywhere. And the reality is, for hiring managers and recruiters, who they themselves are the absolute worst at understanding that people have life experiences and we need to take that into account, and this person who is a problem solver, as a caregiver like me, can be the greatest innovator in somebody's corporation. They're very robotic, and a lot of it is being automated, so they're looking for the right keywords. We're at the end of the, for menial work at that, for bullshit low paying jobs at that. Like, really give people an opportunity to advance. I don't mind having my taxes fund a program that actually gets people back on their feet in a way where they feel fulfilled in the work that they're doing, and they're doing something that they actually want, and they are less likely to go back on or stay on government assistance, right? We have automation. The realization of automation has been expedited by COVID-19 because these companies, you know, as they had to take that L of, you know, furloughing employees, a lot of places had to go ahead and automate just so they can stay afloat. So the huge automation, work from home, shift in the employment and job just culture, period, that entire sector of life, that, you know, that was inevitable, but it has been expedited and is right here, right now, in this moment. This is a time of innovation in every market, in every industry, in every vertical. This is a time for innovation, period. And if we are not innovative, from how government operates to how these assistance programs operates to companies in general, print, tech, whatever, if we are not, especially in government and foreign policy and the military, DOD and all that, if we are not in the mindset and the grounding of innovation, then we are going to flounder. And that is also on the table in this election. Who is going to bring the innovation? Who is going to inspire the necessary innovation for us to survive what has been created through this pandemic? And unfortunately, entrepreneurs inherently are innovative because it takes innovation to be able to survive. Markets change, new technology comes about, there's new regulation, a pandemic hits, there's some, you know, there's a terrorist attack or something, and everybody has to innovate and solve those problems now, yesterday, last year, because we'll be lucky if we see tomorrow if we don't. So this is a period of innovation, and it's unfortunate because we have these black leaders, because let's face it, in the black community, everyone's all up in arms about the rappers and the culture people or whatever. And a lot of them are just playing the Democrat game because, one, they don't know any better, or two, it just gets them likes and followers and it helps their brand, right? And then we have those who are saying, you know, maybe we can see what, let's see who's going to do what. And we're going to do this by any means necessary with whoever's going to work for us, because I'm sick and tired of Democrats selling us lies that they don't follow through with. And Trump might be a piece of shit, but maybe, just maybe, he'll work with us and get this shit done. 50 Cent don't want to be 20 Cent. He doesn't want his goddamn money taken away by governments that aren't even going to invest it in the country correctly in a way that's actually going to benefit him. This is what we're actually talking about right now. And we can't have the Chelsea Handlers and all these self-righteous white women, just because now they can speak and their husbands have to listen. You know, now they're super excited and they're on their white third way feminism. You men, all men are rapists. All the white men are evil rapists, and all the black guys are slaves that have to listen to them. Like that's damn near the fucking direction we're going in right now, you know? Because white women have a speak, you know, they have a voice now, and half of them are certified life coaches because they got themselves out of shitty marriages that they shouldn't have been in. Now they have the top voice to tell everybody, you have to do what I say because now I'm finally finding my self-esteem. Bitch, if you had low self-esteem, that's not my fucking problem. And it's not your place to force that shit on me and try to tell me who and how I need to be, or who or how I need to think, and who or how I need to vote for, because you just discovered that you like your breasts. Bitch, my breasts have been sexy for a minute, honey, okay? These things look nice, okay? It's been that way my whole life. I don't need you projecting that shit onto me. The fuck, okay? Because I'm still a registered Republican. I don't really care for Trump, but the way the left is acting, I might just have to sell my soul to the devil, because I can't have you dumbass leftists with the bullshit y'all don't understand ruining this fucking country. Because at the end of the day, you don't even really understand what this country is about if you're riding with the bullshit that Biden is selling to you. So at the end of the day, vote your conscience, vote how you will, get out there on November 3rd and enjoy this Halloween night, because it might be the last night of pleasure and fun and whoever knows what the fuck else you have left. So that's a wrap for me. Deuce. Oh, sorry. Forgot. Check me out. www.awakendemagogue.com. Okay? If you want to support the independent research, analysis, and content, throw a donation. Cash App. $LeeArtis. LeeArtiste. I take Venmo. Magnus 7. Cat Magnus. Propaganda's favorite number is 7 Magnus 7 on Venmo. If you want to hit me up via Zelle, the email is awakeneddemagogue@gmail.com. I am taking donations to stay independent because I'm a policy analyst, I'm a political analyst, and I can get a job being beholden to somebody else's agenda, or I can keep bringing you authentic analysis and content the way that I am. Everybody knows my mom just passed away, so I'm transitioning from being a full-time caregiver to being a full-time badass and a powerhouse. I'm not just some content creator that wants to be a life coach. I am here to actually change the world and be a fucking badass. If you want to help the world, if you want to work with me and using my gift of vision and foresight as a seer to help you strategize, be a socially conscious brand, to position yourself in alignment with the times, because PR is all about relevance, but doing relevance in the right way, and to position yourself as an authority through your thought leadership strategy, to look at who and how you are and how you position yourself so that you prevent any potential PR crises as you grow your brand, hit me up, www.theculturedscholar.com. I do all the fucking things. I am a proactive thinker, not a reactive thinker. The only person shit I pick up off the floor was my deceased mother, okay? So if you want to get yourself right, you want to get yourself cleaned up, you don't want to be another Donald Trump, hit me up, www.theculturescholar.com. Or if you just want to support and be a part of the movement, or buy some artwork, or buy my ebooks, or just engage the content, www.awakendemagogue.com. And again, support the independent work. Cash App, $LIARTIST, LIARTISTE, Venmo, Magnus7, at Magnus7, and Zell, awakendemagogue@gmail.com. I'll catch y'all next time. Deuce.